understand this text today, I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 322. There you will find the Apostles' Creed in the explanations as you have learned to know them from the Catechism. The first article of the Creed speaks to us about God as Creator and tells us that everything we possess, our intellect, our bodies, our minds, our hearts, all of those things are gifts from God, along with all the things that oftentimes are referred to in Scripture as mammon. That is, wealth, power, fame, riches, those sorts of things. Or as your confession read, He has given me my wife and children, field, cattle, and all that I possess. Now, in the textbook today, we're going to speak about those things, but only in a sort of reflective manner, because we are primarily going to speak of the gifts God gives in the other realm. Gifts that merely do not sustain our bodies, but gifts that sustain our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Also on page 322 and 323 in the second and third articles of the Creed, for there we discover that God has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. We discover there that the gifts that God gives in the third article of the Creed come via His Word and sacraments, where the Holy Spirit operates to give us these gifts of Christ. And when we take all of these parts of the Creed in their totality, we see that the second and third article gifts are there because of God's love for us as fallen creatures. And the first article gifts are gifts from God that are given to all His creation because they are His creation. And we see further that the second and third article gifts may be supported by the gifts given by God in the first article. That is, God has given first article gifts so that we may share with the neighbor and with the family the gifts that Christ has given us in His Son and through the Father by the Spirit. So we see that all of these gifts are given to us by God out of His love for sinners. You know well the steward's story that you heard in the Gospel for today. You know of His calling to be one who takes His master's goods and invests them for His master's benefit. But He has not done so. He has used them selfishly and wastefully. Now, if this were a secular story, the interpretation would be self-evident. Faced with a crisis, the steward is clever, although somewhat dishonest in solving his problem. But if we are to consider this parable from the perspective of God's love for us in second and third article language, then the focus of this illustration cannot be on the dishonesty of the steward, but must be on the mercy of the master. It is from this perspective, I submit to you, that we are able to see the gospel in a clear and complete way. So we shall view this illustration from the perspective of grace, not of law. This means that the illustration has impact on you in both accounts. Whether you are unemployed or working, whether you are faithful or negligent, it impacts each because you have been appointed as a steward of God by your Creator. You, because you belong to God and are His child, know this. The rest of the world doesn't. If God is your Creator, the Creator of the universe, then you are merely caretakers, stewards of all the first article gifts mentioned, not masters, certainly not owners. It is God, therefore, who is both the giver and the owner of all your talents, however defined. Then why has God entrusted them to you? the standpoint of the law is your day of reckoning. Today is the day that God, your Creator, commands of you an accounting. You should plead that you have been faithful, if that's true, unselfish and kind, if that's true. Always placing the needs of God's kingdom and the needs of your neighbor ahead of your own. But if you were to do that, I submit to you, the words might catch in your throat, stick in your mouth, because you know they are untruths. You could claim, of course, that although you have not been the best steward, you are way above average when it comes to stewardship things. But then you remember who it would be that you are trying to fool. So what will you do? What is the solution for the unjust steward? And what is the solution for you? Many here, I think, depart from the text where they focus on the injustice of the steward and squander the trust given to him as the steward of the master's goods. His task, of course, was to care for the property entrusted to those who rented from his master, whether it be grain or corn or land itself. As the crops grow, those renters are to pay the steward a predetermined portion of the crop as rent for the land. Creator's unending mercy, freely given for the sake of Jesus.